Good evening, and welcome to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest this month is Meg Nowak of Catskill, a historic preservationist. And we're going to be talking about a topic that has been in quite a few local news articles lately, the Greene County Jail, basically the history of the jail that is on Bridge Street. So welcome, Meg.
Thank you, Jack.
So what prompted your interest in the history of the jail?
Well, thank you, Jack, for having me again on the show.
My pleasure. And
I'm representing Cultivate Catskill, and they have a new branch, and it's Historic Catskill. So I'm very happy to represent Historic Catskill in the show.
That sounds good to me.
thank you. But the jail is at 80 and 82 Bridge Street in Catskill. And the interest was brought about because the county would like to demolish it. And I'm campaigning against that demolition for several reasons, but we can get into that later.
Okay. So there's a complex of buildings there.
That's correct. Yeah, there is. And it makes a really beautiful rectangle. I'm getting more and more attached to these buildings as I get to know them. But it starts with the sheriff's house and office that is located right on Bridge Street. And then it continues with the cell block. And it then ends with a very good looking carriage house slash garage. And to the side, to the left, is the 1978 addition, which we also will talk about a little bit later. I just have to mention, Jack, very quickly,
yes,
this funny story that I heard about the sheriff's wives, the very early sheriff's wives, because in thinking of the sheriff's house, the sheriff did actually live there with his family. And I've seen photographs of the sheriff's family, extended family. They had nieces and nephews and babies in carriages out front. And I saw one photograph, it was decorated for Christmas. And it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking. I really, as I said, I'm getting very attached to the buildings. But the story is, the wives of the sheriffs used to cook for the inmates. So they cooked in a basement kitchen in the sheriff's house. The food would be brought up in the shared wall between the cell block and the sheriff's house and served to the inmates. And I always found that amusing. I'm wondering what they served. But
probably more than bread and water.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
So that was not the... This is not the first location of
the
jail.
It's not. No.
Where's the original one?
Exciting that it still exists. The jail, the old jail for Catskill, the very first jail, was built in the early 1800s. And I'm sorry, I don't have an exact date. I should, but I don't. But very early 1800s. So it's a federal style building. And it's way up, tucked on Clark Street, which is now dead end. So if you go off of Broad Street, you can sneak up there. It's public, so you can go up there. I do. It's now apartments. There were, in fact, 4 executions in that building.
Ooh.
Which gives one pause if you're going to rent an apartment.
Yes.
But what the building was very solid, evidently, at the very end of its life when the new jail was being built around 1908. It had 6 layers of iron, so it was constantly being reinforced. And it was not a pleasant place. I've read stories about how dismal it was, and jails are, generally speaking, dismal.
Yeah.
But there is an amusing story about the old jail, and that involves the William Beardsley's wife. Now, I don't have a name for her, but I'll call her Mrs. Beardsley.
That works.
But William Beardsley was a noted architect and builder out of Poughkeepsie, and I think he must have relocated to Catskill, or maybe they went from they managed this building from a distance. But he was the builder of the courthouse, and so it's a pretty good tie-in. But his wife decided she wanted to build a fancy hotel in the old jail. Now, this is very forward-thinking of her, because this structure, he laughed at her. They made fun of her because this was iron upon iron upon iron. It was heavy. It was difficult to disassemble. But she pushed forward, and she finally got a buyer for all of the iron. It was scrap iron for $800, which wasn't a huge sum at the time. So they were eating crow, and she was laughing as she had the... her wonderful hotel, which was considered a luxury spot at the time. And I'm sorry, I can't find the name of the hotel. But anyway, she was very pleased with that. And I think it's a great story, nevertheless. But the building is still there. So do, if you get a chance to march up Clark Street, do go look at it and imagine that, imagine what it was. And I'm so happy it's still there. It's retention of historic buildings and reuse. It's fantastic.
We want to do, we've lost too many.
Yes, agree.
Just as a quick side note, years ago, when I got involved in local history, Betty Larson was our town historian. I'm going back to like maybe in the 90s. And she was up in years then. And she had a program one time on Lost Catskill or something like that. And we lost so many buildings. She says, Catskill's idea of urban redevelopment in the years past was to demolish a building and put up a parking lot.
Oh, yeah, yes.
People still complain that there's no parking.
Yes, they do. Parking seems to be sort of an epidemic these days. It's or the lack of parking. Yes. Oh, I found the name of the hotel. It was called the Heidelberg.
Oh, okay.
So, Heidelberg. And it was very fancy. And it doesn't really look like the Heidelberg anymore, but it, as I said, the building is still there, so I'm very pleased with that.
That's a testament to it right there. Now we have in Catskill many historic buildings. Now there's the whole east side is the East Side Historic District.
Correct. Yeah, and the East Side Historic District, and I talked about this the last time I was on the show, and I'll talk about it again because it is very important. It was an early district. It's a big district. It has 552 historic structures in it, so it's a lot. It makes up about half of the village, and included are these buildings, this jail complex. So it is an integral part. And it makes up a grouping. And this is what the Preservation Office in Albany often harps upon, and they should, that groupings are very important in historic districts. And this, these buildings, the courthouse, the jail complex, and many of the buildings around, like the library, the banks, some of the banks on Main Street, which are very close in proximity to the courthouse, they were all built between 1901 and 1910. And so they make a really good, solid grouping of historic buildings. So it is really, it's important to retain these buildings. We don't want a gap, and we sure don't want another parking lot. But we're, you know, we're trying hard to discourage that sort of mentality. And I think it's worthwhile. It's a worthwhile fight.
It always is. To preserve the old things. Now, the courthouse and the jail buildings, now, tell a little bit about the construction of them.
Yes, I will. And as I said, the builder was William Beardsley for the courthouse. And the jail complex is kind of a mystery. I maybe a listener knows who the architect or who the builder was. There were similar sheriff's houses and jails, like in Oswego County. I know there was an almost identical jail building before it was demolished, which is such a shame. But these buildings are Ohio sandstone. I'll call it a veneer of Ohio sandstone, and they're meant to be, they're neoclassical in style. They're meant to be grand. They're meant to be crisp, forbidding, or foreboding.
Foreboding, yeah.
Forbidding, yeah, maybe for the jail. Discourage people from getting in there.
True.
But I did happen to see a series of postcards recently showing the construction, and this is something I like to talk about an awful lot because I think it's very important for people to realize how difficult it was at the time when these buildings were built. These were solid. I mean, they're built like fortresses. The courthouse, the jail buildings, they are built to last. And this was the intention of the builders and the architect. But the photographs or the postcards are incredibly charming. They show, charming for us to look at, probably not to work, but they show wagons, horses, many men clad in or clothed in overalls. Mm-hmm. They all had to be consistent. They all, you know, all the masons were working. There's a row of masons working. And then there's the foreman. And the foreman is dressed in a black suit with a bowler. And he's standing on top of the wall. And you can see him looking out over his project. But again, it's my emphasis here really is how these buildings were built, and that to tear them down is a bit negligent in a sense. It's mm-hmm. It's almost disrespectful, and that's something that I think we should all keep in mind, is that these were difficult to put up.
Now, what was before these buildings were built? There were other things there on that property. What was there before?
Had I been around at the time these were built, I probably would have also been crying about the buildings that were torn down to build the courthouse. Now, the jail site was already cleared. There was a fire in the 1850s. So behind the courthouse site, I believe that was already clear. And again, if a listener out there has something to say, get back to Jack about this. But where the courthouse stands now, there was, in fact, a very famous restaurant called the Oyster Bar. And this was a building that was a restaurant that was established in 1892. And it called itself, now maybe it was or maybe it wasn't, but it called itself the oldest established place in Catskill serving meals at all hours, which I think is interesting to think about in the 1890s.
Yes.
Someone dragging in to eat at the Oyster Bar. Now, there was also a livery, and there was also the Irving House Hotel. And a lot of people lived at the Irving House Hotel. When I was doing research on businesses on Main Street, a lot of people stayed there, but a lot of people also lived there. So it was really an interesting, you know, that name came up a lot. The livery, on the other hand, is also an interesting concept for historians and for Catskill, because a lot of people didn't have their own stabling, and so they would keep their carriages and they would keep their horses in a livery. They would call for them, or they would, you know, call for them in a sense, like, I don't know, they probably would go get them. But there were liveries in Catskill that actually had a lifting mechanism. So carriages were stored on top floors, and they would be like New York City parking.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone far from
early version of a parking garage.
Exactly. It's so interesting. The liveries, there were so many liveries, and I have a count. I can't remember what it is, but it was one of the top businesses in Catskill. But those were demolished to make room for this really very attractive and very solid courthouse that was constructed between 1908 and 1910.
Yeah, you've mentioned the Van Doren Ironworks.
Yes. Oh, thank you for reminding me. the sheriff's house. Oh yes, and actually, I'm going to go back a little bit to the sheriff's house. I'm going to start on Bridge Street, and the sheriff's house, as you look at it now, it doesn't look very impressive. But again, it was a very handsome structure, and it still is. As I said, I'm getting more and more fond of them. But the sheriff's house was built at a time when Art Nouveau decor was very popular. And there are photographs in a beautiful folio, a leather-bound folio that was published in, it has a date of 1908 on it. So, you know, I believe the courthouse probably was finished later. It was. But there's wallpaper borders, and there's a picture rail, there's fancy carpets. This was an object of pride for the village of Catskill, as was the jail. But the interior of the sheriff's house was very comfortable, and it had pocket doors. It still has those pocket doors. And a friend of mine mentioned that, in fact, the wood looked a bit like American chestnut, which is even a bigger reason not to take these apart. Mm-hmm. The jail itself, the cell block, has soaring three-story windows. And the interior, now it's imagine a steel box within a reinforced concrete sheathing, basically. This was the brainchild of a company out of Cleveland, Ohio, established in 1872, called the Van Doren Ironworks Company. Now, this company started by making decorative fences for buildings, houses, residences, and other commercial buildings. And they evolved. They began to make other things. They began to make locks, lock systems. They began to make other iron products. And they began to make these cells, literally cells. And you could buy a block of five. You could buy a block of 10, depending on your needs. Well, Catskill's cells, I don't know how many are in the cell block right now. But those were purchased by from the Van Dorn Ironworks Company. And I imagine they were delivered on the train. And I imagine it was a tough thing to put them together. The interior of the jail, and again, it's in this beautiful folio that it, if you would like to go see it, it's at the Vedder Library. And it includes the pictures, photographs of the courthouse and the interior of the jail. But it is built like a ship. It's riveted steel. Mm-hmm. And the motif is stars. And if you look at the medical room, for example, the screen to the privacy screen is a steel plate, but it has stars as ventilation. And it's, you know, I'm talking about this like it's a charming building, but it has charm for me at this point. Sure. But if you also look at the top two vents on the top of the jail building, you'll see stars as well on those. So it's really very interesting. But this Ironworks Company, they did sell out. I'm afraid their headquarters in Cleveland was demolished because there were some toxic chemicals that unfortunately had to be abated. But I think it's of great interest that these Van Dorn jails, these Van Dorn cells were in use. I think they did about 500 jails around the country, many of which have not survived because of this new product called reinforced concrete.
I see.
And they cement and concrete. Cement has been around for literally thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Reinforced concrete was a new product in about 1890.
So
this was a state-of-the-art product at the time the jail was built. And so the exterior was made out of this reinforced concrete. And when the iron gets wet, I'm afraid that's when you get the spalling and the damage. It starts to corrode. But it's an interesting construction, nevertheless. And I think if you want to go research Van Dorn, there's plenty of information online about the company.
Okay, thank you, Meg. Well, we're at the end of our first segment here, looking at the time. And so, again, you're listening to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest is Meg Nowak of Catskill. We were talking about the history of the Green Candy Jail. So thank you for listening. Please stay tuned for our second segment. Thank you. And welcome to the second segment of Backtracks in Time for this month. I am Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest is Meg Nowak of Catskill, a local historic preservationist. And we have been talking about, in the first segment, the history of the Green Candy Jail in Catskill. And so, for the benefit of our listeners may join in the second segment here, we'll just reiterate a few points that were made at the end of the first segment. Now, the jail complex is located in the East Side Historic District.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, and the district, again, for a hello to everyone out there, and also anybody coming in, I will tell you again, and I don't mind doing it, that the East Side Historic District is a very large and early district, and it's made up of 552 historic structures. It goes all the way to the Hudson, and all the way to the Catskill Creek, and on either side it covers about 200 acres, which is big. But back to the contributing, that's the lingo for structures that do have purpose and are integral parts of this historic district. They're called contributing structures. And I was telling Jack that, in fact, the jail complex, even though it doesn't look its best right now, it does have value as a grouping and as individual structures. And of course, it has value as real estate. We all know that. But they really are an important part of this important district in the village of Catskill. And I would also like to emphasize that the district is national. So it's important to think about that. It's not designated by the village. It's not the town of Catskill, not the county, Green County, but it is a national district of cultural resources worthy of preservation. And it's officially recognized by the U.S. government. So this is a big deal. This is not something to take lightly.
Not just a little local thing.
It's not just a local thing, no. But and the district has both architectural significance. The buildings are remarkably intact, especially on Main Street and, of course, in the neighborhoods. There are some really interesting groupings of buildings and individual structures, but also historic significance. You know, the East Side Historic District includes the Thomas Cole House. It includes all of our wonderful churches that we have quite a collection of. The first courthouse, which is right across from the jail building and that I look at when I'm gazing fondly on one side, I'll gaze fondly on the other side to the Carnegie Library and our first courthouse, which was a very early federal building.
Yes, it's now the Hilscher and Hilscher Law Firm.
It is indeed, and Ted Hilscher is a great friend and a fellow preservationist.
Yes, I had Meg and Ted on the show August of last year.
Which was so much fun because we did play off each other quite well. but the district itself does is made up of primarily, I think the jail buildings much later in the development of Catskill or in the village, but it shows kind of a boom because, as I mentioned earlier, the bank buildings, the neoclassical bank buildings were built around the same time the jail buildings were built. But the majority of the houses in the district are, there's a high concentration of very well-preserved late 18th century, 19th and early 20th century brick, stone, frame structures. Of course, we had a lot of brick in Catskill since we were, you know, manufacturing it.
Yeah.
And the streets exhibit some remarkably intact streetscapes. And so that's, and the gardens too. I mean, it really is, it's pretty fabulous. But in the jail buildings, as I said before, they were all built, you know, with the library, the courthouse, the jail buildings, they're all built between 1901 and 1910. And so they make a nice concentrated group. But the buildings, they are listed. They do have inventory sheets. You know, they're recognized, as I said, by the state and national registers as a contributing resource to the East Side Historic District. And there, you know, recently the hubbub over the demolition has brought up some interesting people and definitely folks that really want to protect these buildings, including SHPO, and that's short for the State Historic Preservation Office in Albany. And they were sent a letter about the demolition. The county does do its they do its due diligence. They have done everything right regarding communication with the preservation office. But there was a letter just recently, you know, in March of 2019, from the office that did state that I quote, in accordance with Section 14.09 of the New York State Historic Preservation Act of 1980, demolition of a historic building constitutes an adverse impact to the resource. So that's fancy wording for it would create a gap, and this is something we don't really want. I should have ended the quote there, but I'll continue. Quote, okay. This is an action that can only move forward after prudent and feasible alternatives to demolition have been considered. We urge you, that's the county, to consider an alternate use for these historic buildings, either by the county, town, or private interest or other entity for adaptive reuse. End of quote. So as a preservationist, this is incredibly important. To reuse these buildings, because as I mentioned before, they're built to last. They're built like fortresses. Yeah. They're not going to fall over anytime soon. And in addition to which, the village of Catskill in the zoning regulations, it's Article 5, and it's online if anyone wants to look at it. The review of historic properties, and this is something that Ted Hilscher did work on when he was the village attorney. He now is the village attorney again. Yep. But he wrote these zoning regulations for historic preservation or historic buildings. And it states that properties that have been identified by the village of Catskill as being historically significant and or locally important, the planning board shall review the herein identified historic properties prior to the issuance of a building permit, demolition permit, etc. So this is more complicated than just knocking these buildings down. They do have to go before the village, the planning board, and I hope they also act in a prudent manner and discourage demolition. It would be such a shame. It really would be. But the upcoming comprehensive plan, which is in process, it's in development. And it's very exciting. It's going to we're going to have a public hearing about that comprehensive plan in October. But this is a document that will inform village administrators for any future development or demolition. And the plan focuses heavily on community identity and states, and here's another quote, Catskill's historic resources are one of its greatest assets. They provide educational support, contribute to overall neighborhood character, define the unique character of downtown, and define Catskill's sense of place. The comprehensive plan seeks to retain Catskill's rich history by encouraging the preservation and restoration of these resources. End of quote. And they also encourage, it also encourages village administrators to identify, conserve, and protect significant public and privately owned historic structures. So this is a great thing for the village of Catskill to protect what we've got. And the jail buildings, you know, you knock it down and you don't have it anymore. I know that sounds really obvious, but yeah, you cannot rebuild them. They're gone forever.
Right, I mean, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Well, it's too late when you have a pile of rubble.
That's exactly right. And it is a legacy. If the county should decide to retain the buildings, it is their legacy. It's that group. It's the the class of 2019. They have decided, in my mind, to act responsibly economically and also environmentally, because knocking down buildings is environmentally unsound, considering all of the rubbish that has to go in landfills that are already at their capacity.
Good point.
No, the preservationist, there's a very corny saying, is that the greenest building is the one that's already built. And that, I tell you, everybody, yeah, pretty much it really is. I mean, it's, the resources and energy that are used to demolish, especially a stone building like those and not to mention the steel, the steel construction that the Van Dorns put together.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little bit in the last segment.
Yeah.
Built like a fortress.
It is built like a fortress. That's exactly right. Even stronger than a fortress because it's steel. But this is, this is material that goes into landfills, and it's good material. It's good quality. You can't get the wood anymore. You might not be able to get the Ohio sandstone anymore. And it just, it just would be really a shame. And in addition to which, the construction, that's another one of my points that I will get on the soapbox about, is that we have a glut of, it's probably not the right word. We are in need of people who can work on historic buildings, carpenters and masons. Mm-hmm. And the people that built the courthouse, the jail, the sheriff's house, they were experts. They knew what they were doing. And so it's basically you're knocking down what they left for us.
They're knocking down their legacy, basically.
Yeah, their legacy. That's exactly right. And it is a shame. And it's, they built these buildings with the idea that they would last. And, a recent example in the news is the Cathedral Notre Dame.
Yes.
Did anyone think that was ever, of course, going to catch on fire? But then millions and millions of dollars pledged to get that building back the way it was or differently. I don't know what they've decided.
I think they're still
There's still
some ideas were really crazy.
They were.
I mean, I'm a traditional person, and I'm Catholic, so I mean, I like to just keep it the way you know. Keep it the way it is. I mean, obviously, you can't get the same probably wood that was used.
Nope. Yeah,
they said like that's the part that burned was like, they called it the forest because of the trees that was used to build it. Granted.
And you can say the same about the buildings. I'm not saying that our building is 850 years old, but it does have materials that cannot be acquired anymore. I mean, your wood is very different. The wood that's grown nowadays is it grows very quickly, and we've had to import wood from different countries just to match up the density of historic wood, so things don't pop. You know, floorboards don't start popping out, and so it is. It's just worth thinking about these buildings as historic assets for the village, and also things that cannot be replaced. And that's just shameful, I think, to tear these buildings down. That was a really long. at least I didn't have to say it in one breath. But Jack, anything?
Well, I think we mentioned the Van Doren ironworks.
That's correct.
That were involved in the construction, and I think Meg wanted to talk a little bit about the history of them.
Yeah, I do. Only because they too are nationally significant, because they're a company that they were in the midst. They were popular and being employed right when automobiles were coming into popularity, or they were being, you know, basically invented, and then also skyscrapers. And this was a company that was in on the ground floor, not to make a
literally,
terrible pun,
but you're talking to the king of puns here. My listeners know that, so please don't worry. Now for my audience here, see, great minds think alike.
True. So. Well, I'm glad for puns, but I do think it's really important to consider the Van Doren, because this is still intact. I mean, the jail, the cell block still has everything there. It has the Van Doren locks. It has the Van Doren name on the locks. The steel is in pretty good shape. It is such an interesting construction. The plumbing goes right through the middle of these cells.
Okay.
So there's basically a big canyon of individual pipes. I mean, the construction is fascinating, and I think it is worthwhile to consider this company when considering the entire structure, because they were famous. They did a fantastic job for many, many jails and skyscrapers and auto manufacturers, fence building. And they lasted a very long time. They didn't stop working until the 1990s.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And then they sold out to Nabisco, of all people, I think, of all companies. And I'm not sure how that worked exactly. But
between that. But.
Yeah, I know. Just slightly different. Different.
It'd be hard to eat crackers. You know,
yes.
That was bad. See what I mean,
folks?
That's
okay. But I don't have that much to say about the Van Doren company, because I know they're out-of-towners, but it is exciting to think they were so important when these buildings were built. And it was state-of-the-art, as I said. The cement is an ancient material, but reinforced concrete, it was brand new. And this was so exciting that things could be built of reinforced concrete. And so they're wonderful buildings. I can't say enough about them.
That's fine. That's what we're here for. And I guess they made about 500 jails.
That's the number I see, but I haven't done the research, and it's difficult. I have calls into the Cleveland Historical Society and to try to understand where the archives are, because I'd like to know how many are left, because that's fuel for the fire too. If there aren't many left, and this was a complicated. The steel itself, of course, is pretty stable, but the reinforced concrete, unfortunately, when you do get anything that disturbs the concrete and anything reaches that rebar, or it was a lot thinner back then, and they added a lot more, and probably the quality of the steel was better, but it rusts. And once you have any water infiltration, unfortunately, you get a lot of what's called spalling. And for those of you in the building trade, you know what this is. It's when the concrete just falls away from the reinforced steel or the steel rebar. But a big issue for these jail buildings was the 1978 addition, that if you stand on Bridge Street, you can actually see that not very attractive addition, but it did compromise the drainage. And so it caused a lot of issues for the old buildings, which still would be very stable had that not been improperly engineered, unfortunately. So
always more to the story.
Yeah, there's always more. There's always more. But I'm excited that this is getting out there. And thanks to Jack again for allowing me to talk about the jail.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, this is a good timely topic. So we are about the end of our second segment here. Yes, I can count. And so you're listening to Backtracks in Time. I'm Jack Sensabaugh. And my guest is Meg Nowak of Catskill, a historic preservationist. And we're talking about the history of the Greene County Jail. And so we're at the end of our second segment. So please stay tuned for segment three. Thank you. Everybody, and welcome back to our third segment here of Backtracks in Time for this month. I'm Jack Sensabaugh, and my guest this month is Meg Nowak of Catskill, historic preservationist, and we've been talking about the Greene County Jail, a very timely topic. It's been in the news quite a bit lately. And so we've talked about the history of it. Now, if it can be preserved, what are some of the adaptive uses that it can be used for?
Well, thank you again, Jack. These are personal reuse ideas, but they do benefit the county, they benefit the town, they benefit the village, and of course the buildings are right smack in the middle of the village, so we have to be very mindful of what the village thinks about all this. And they're really you know, when you think about what the county has planned, which is in fact a parking lot, I have to say there is more joy and interest in historic buildings or a historic building than there is in a parking lot. Because if you consider, and I know this is dear to your heart, Jack, the armory. There's a parking lot there now. And that building was spectacular. It was Romanesque or Romanesque revival, and it was solid. And I'm happy I wasn't there for the demolition. I would have stood in front of whatever was, you know, bulldozer, I guess.
Chain yourself to the building?
I would chain myself. Yeah, I would. It's not my style, but I think I would.
I think that was taken down like right about, I was probably a baby or something, I think, because I think early 70s.
It was 69 or 70. Yeah. But what a shame. And now there's nothing but photographs of that building. And it was grand. And it had interesting uses. It was used for shows. It was used for they even drove cars in there to show cars. They had dances in there. It was used for the community. And I think that's important to think about, is that the buildings, these historic buildings, of course, they can be reused. They are built to last. And we should consider that always before demolishing a structure. But also there's a parking lot where the Smith Hotel was. And that goes back to something I hope we get to talk about in just a little bit, about the businesses in Catskill. Yes. The hotels were just magnificent money makers, and they were full. I mean, I just read an account just yesterday about how full the rooming houses were, and people were went begging. I mean, they needed space because people were coming up from the city. So yeah, there's yet another structure that's gone that could be affordable housing. It could have been many different things. It could even be a hotel. But visitors to Catskill and their tourist dollars, they come to Catskill because it's special. And it's a beautiful location. We both know that. But it is a destination because of its location and its architecture. It's largely intact. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I love it. I mean, I love to walk around the village and look at all the beautiful buildings and the variety. But demolition, as I said earlier, it also creates an empty space. And it creates gaps. I talked about gaps, but it disturbs the streetscape. It detracts from the beauty of the village. And even though the buildings are owned by the county, they are physically located in the heart of Catskill Village, or the village of Catskill. And so, you know, there's many thoughts around. Many groups are thinking about the reuse of these buildings. And yes, it is going to take some work, and it is going to take some dollars. But they could benefit the community, and then you won't have the gap, and you'll be reusing something that's really spectacular. But there are countless things that can be done with the complex. And my first thought was something in the preservation trades, and we just talked about this in the earlier segment, is vocational training. And, job creation is hot stuff. It's beneficial to everybody. It's beneficial to the economy, to the village, to the town and county. But they can be used for educational purposes. I mean, they could be used for training masons. I mean, it could be a workshop. It could be a laboratory during its restoration. And there's things to do afterwards. You can have classrooms set up in there. You get the right architect, and you can be you can reuse those buildings, even the cells. Even the cells can be reused for many different uses.
Maybe you sell that idea to somebody.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to.
You just made me hurt all over. But so back to what I was saying. But there is a strong need for craftspeople, and especially those who specialize in the sensitive historic building. They do have sensitive plumbing. The electric is not always safe, but there are training opportunities for young people to learn about plumbing in historic buildings. I mean, it's everyone has plumbing, mm-hmm. so and everyone mostly has electricity. And in Catskill, for example, there are a lot of historic buildings. I still have knob and tube in mine, and I'm not touching it. And I didn't ask the electrician to do it either. Still works. But there are some great examples of successes in vocational training, and they're long lived. And the American College of the Building Arts in Charleston, South Carolina, is an excellent example of preservation trades, really a great success there. And there's one right here in New York, the Stephen D. Mather Building Arts and Craftsmanship High School in New York City. And it is a high school. So for those who can't bear the traditional classroom in high school, they learn a trade. And they have a lifelong career. This is something that's sought after, and I know contractors in Catskill are absolutely few and far between, and those that are very good are taken for years. And I think there's a real need for vocational training. And so the buildings, back to the buildings, they certainly could be used for something like that. Even a hub for a community college. You could have a satellite, back in Greene County,
Columbia Green.
Yeah, I haven't discussed that with them. But I would like very much to. And you can get a young preservationist group. And I know these are largely nonprofit, and the village would like to see some revenue. So there's the thought of affordable housing. And I'm not talking about Section 8 necessarily, but definitely housing for folks who are going to work in the new businesses, like the hotels that are. There's one right down the street from the jail, the Mr. Cat. That's going to have about 35 rooms, and they, where are those people working in that hotel? Where are they going to live? Catskill has a real shortage of housing for that income level. So that's exciting, too. And you could certainly reuse the buildings for a small number of affordable housing units. A hotel. Now, this is something that has been batted around. And hotels and jails, if anyone wants to look on the internet for hotels and jails, they are wildly popular. I probably wouldn't stay in one. only because there's some, you know, there's some upset in jails. I am not very sensitive to sort of spiritual things in buildings, but I think it would be it would be disturbing. But that's the draw for a lot of people. They like that. They think there's a mystique around jails, orphanages, hospitals, and they've all been reused with great success in Europe and even in the United States. And of course, there's, you know, with a hotel, you can have a restaurant. And we thought of the wonderful jail bar. which could certainly serve some interesting cocktails. But, the, you know, that's just fun to think about. But it's in a serious, on a serious note, these are income producing, and this is what we need. We need tax revenue. Of course, exhibition space for organizations in the village who have archival and artifact holdings for the village, because we really, of course, there's the Vetter Research Library. They don't have a changing exhibition space. Well, they do. They actually have a small area for changing exhibitions. But it would be nice for villagers to be able to bring forward some of their treasures that have to do with the history of the village and be able to display them safely. And then offices for, let's say, Cultivate Catskill, I'm just saying, because they have been, the seven-year-old organization has never had a base to organize plantings, tree work, park improvements, historic preservation work, and other community outreach. They've been meeting in people's houses, and of course, Historic Catskill is part of that and could share an office. So that's just an idea. But
there's a lot of pluses to saving these. Preserving these buildings, yeah, then, because not only because they are historic and they're, you know, they're solid, but all the good that can come out of them.
That's right. Like,
so these uses, yeah, satellite locations or the trade training,
yes,
as we mentioned,
yeah.
The right words there.
Yeah, it is.
So,
it is. No, it really
is. Housing, this is all.
No, it all is very positive. Yep, all pro and all very good and beneficial and community based, and that's what a parking lot can't give. The village, it really can't. It's nothing.
No, it's a blank space.
It's a blank space. It is indeed. I know it's necessary. I park in parking lots. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I don't, but I do think that we need to sort of think about the use of these buildings. And another, you know, just one more idea, which I think is very important for the village, is a resource center for grant writing for historic buildings. A lot of people can't get through the applications for, you know, everybody in the East Side Historic District is eligible for tax benefits from the state, on the state level and on the federal level. But it's a, you know, it's not a complicated application, but there are a lot of steps. There are a lot of moving parts. And wouldn't it be nice to have a person to help with a facilitator, I guess you could call them, to help businesses with grants, because there are businesses or business grants available for those working in historic buildings. So the possibilities are kind of, you know, they're the world is your oyster when you're thinking about adaptive reuse. And it's a smart thing to do, and it's economically sound, as I said before. It's really important to consider these buildings. So I think that's pretty much my plug.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we have a few minutes, about 5 minutes, 5-6 minutes left in our segment here. So we're going to go off topic just for a little bit. It happens, folks, you know. And back in June, I had the pleasure of attending a presentation that Meg gave on Main Street in Catskill. It was called Catter Day, I believe on June 8th, or I think it, believe it was. And we went inside some of the older buildings and on the street. And Meg has had wonderful information for those of you who didn't have the pleasure of being there. And so, Meg, would you like to talk about some of the
I'll take 3 minutes
to talk. Anything you'd like to?
I will. No,
building.
It is.
Go
it was it. Completely fascinating. And it really is related. It's not off topic really at all, Jack. It's right on. It's the brick, like the brick industry and the hay industry and all the things that were going on in Catskill. Mm-hmm. But what I did, my tour was based upon a guide or, this wonderful directory that was published for many, many years, a village directory. And it not only had where you lived, it had what you did. And I concentrated on the year 1900. And I do I did have so much fun with this. It was very tedious, but I went through and I counted all of the occupations, including widow. Widow was the top, and I have a feeling it could have been because of the Civil War, it was 1900. There were a lot of kids that were listed, and of course they were students. There were a lot of law students, but some of the interesting occupations that I discovered, one was compositor. Now, I didn't know what a compositor was, but somebody in the group when I did the tour, they did. But it's someone who laid the typeface for printing. And then there was a teamster that was an expert in driving a team. It's very, very neat. Section hand, probably everybody knows what this is but me. Someone who actually worked on a particular section of the railroad.
Yes.
And I'm not going to go through all the numbers, but there was also a poultry fancier. There was only one of those. but there was a hostler. Now, do you remember, Jack, what a hostler was? And it's okay
you
if you
do
don't.
That. Thanks, Meg.
Because, yeah, I know.
Best
on
my
spot.
Own show.
Exactly. But a hostler was, we talked about livery stables earlier, but a hostler was a person who took care of horses who were guests at, they weren't guests, they're owners were guests at hotels, and the hostler would take their horses to a local livery and take care of them for the evening.
Okay.
So, and there were a lot of carriage painters in the village, which is pretty exciting to think about. The highest numbers were laborers at 236 people out of the directory had about 3,300 people in that 1900 directory. But the widows, they numbered at 219, so just right behind the laborers. But there were some really interesting, very interesting businesses on Main Street. And I think I'll probably repeat that tour because there's a lot to add to it.
I will be there.
What people bought and what money was worth and all sorts of interesting things. But I welcome you to look out for those things happening at Cultivate Catskill and Historic Catskill.
Okay. Well, again, it was a pleasure having her on the show, Meg. I had Meg and Ted Hilscher on, as I said, August of last year, talking about Main Street. Actually, that was the topic then. That was the first, I think, Catter Day that was done. I think was it called that then? Last
year? Yeah, there were two. There was one Catter Day before last.
Yeah, I unfortunately had to miss that one because I had a previous commitment with a friend, but I wanted to make sure I got to the one this year in June. So, but it was good to have a pleasure having you on, Meg.
Thank you, Jack.
Talking about the jail and a little bit about Main Street. So I thank you all for listening, and please join us again for the next edition of Backtracks in Time. The October show will air on October 24th at 7 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM. And of course, you can always listen online. Thank you for listening and have a great day.